Left off last week, we began discussing the halachas of the beged of tzitzis. We spoke a little bit 2 weeks ago, a little bit about the material and other things related to the beged. Let's just see if we can finish up the halachas of the beged and move on to the strings of the tzitzis. There is a machlokes of Rishonim. How precisely we define the concept of levishas beged, particularly as it relates to tzitzis. What confuses us a little bit is the nusach habracha. The Gemara tells us that one recites a bracha asher kedishanu mitzvosos on lesatef batzitzis before putting on tzitzis. So this led some Rishonim to believe that the word lesatef means to cover up over one's head, and if one doesn't have the beged of one's head, one doesn't really fulfill the mitzvah. That tzitzis is different. Tzitzis is considered to be only a beged if the beged is worn derech ituf. This halacha doesn't apply by shatnez. There's no such halacha if you have a shatnez suit. So that's also. But some Rishonim say the only yotzei in the mitzvah of tzitzis if it's derech atifa covered over your head. And most of the Rishonim say it's not true. Even though Chazal instituted the bracha l'satef but tzitzis is lafdafka, one can fulfill the mitzvah even if one is just wearing the beged. The beged is merely surrounding the body. That's generally what we are paskin halacha. That's what our minig is. Nevertheless, the poskim point out in the beginning of the tzitzis that in deference to the first view, so when we make the bracha on the tzitzis, we try to cover our head. We try to put the talus over our head for a minute, just so we should be yotzei the bracha. It shouldn't be a shav of bracha matala. According to those who shown, will say that we're not chayim. There is some of the practice even when they put in the talus katan that they do a tifa with the talus katan. If you don't make a bracha on the talus katan, then there's really no reason to bother to do a tifa. But if your minig is to have a bracha, otherwise your meaning is to make a bracha on a talus katan. So some have such a custom to do a tifa. How do you do a tifa with a talus katan? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm still trying to figure out how to do a tifa on a talus katan. So all the chassanim always come and ask me, so how do you do a tifa? So I said, I don't know, you take it, you throw it around, and bang, you swat the guy in the back, and whenever you try to get it, it basically goes around your head and around most of your body, and then showing that that's good enough for a tifa.
But when you do that tifa around, it's supposed to be mostly around your body.
Right, that's mostly right. Sometimes you see people, they put it, it's totally on the head. It's like a ski mask, and there's nothing anywhere near the body, right? That's the L'chaira problem, right? It should be mostly on you.
You're supposed to cover roll your back at the time of your
That's right. This is correct, right? L'chaira points out, right. The poskim discuss what's called Atifas Yishma Eilim, based on the Gemara Moikotan. The Gemara says that one of the halachas that when a person is sitting Shiva, he has to do Atifas Arosh. He's supposed to cover his head, like with a scarf, with a kafir or something over his head. That's a sign of a COVID Rosh, a very somber and serious mood. So he's supposed to do that when he's sitting Shiva. So the Rishonim point out that we don't do that anymore, because we live in communities where if a person's going to do that, it's going to be a big joke. The point of that halacha was to create a very serious mood. You see the guy sitting there with COVID Rosh, derech Atifas, his head is covered over. It's a sign of sadness and seriousness. Whereas today, you walk in, you think it's Purim, the guy sitting there with an Arab headdress and sitting Shiva, everyone's going to start to laugh. So therefore, the Rishonim write that our practice is we have abolished that particular niyog of Avelos. But in my Kotel, what the Gemara talks about in the days of Chazal, when that practice was actually done, so the Gemara speaks about what constitutes Atifas Arosh. So the Gemara says it has to be Atifas Yishma'ilim. It has to be like the Arabs do Atifa. So how do the Arabs do Atifa? So the Gemara says that they cover themselves up all the way until the chin. So the question is, what does that mean? So again, for Hilchos Avelos, it's not relevant for us, but for Chositzes, if we want to do an Atifa, according to those Rishonim who say that Atifa means Atifa, so then we want to do it like Atifas Yishma'ilim. So what does it mean until your chin? So there were some who thought what it means is as follows. It means you take the talus and you put it over your head, over your eyes, over your nose, over your mouth, until your mamash until your chin. You mean you're totally wearing a window shade over your head. So others have pointed out that if you take a look at the Yishma'ilim, that's not what they do. It means they don't walk around with their eyes closed. They put it up to the head, and then they come in the other direction. They come, wrap it around, swing it around until their chin. So when it says Ketivis Yishma'ilim, until your chin, it doesn't mean over your head. It means a little bit over your head, and then your eyes and your nose are exposed, and you come up with a forward motion from the back. That's what Ketivis Yishma'ilim technically is. So if a person, if you want to figure out, gotta go hang out in Saudi Arabia a little bit, take a look and watch and see how they do it, then you figure out how to do Ketivis Yishma'ilim properly. So we try our best to do an Atifa. Again, for us in Chassidus, that's not really cool. Even if you don't do any Atifa, you're still okay. But lechatchila, we have a minig b'shas habracha to do Atifa. Means right before, right, you make the bracha l'sati b'tzitzis, and then mamash, as you say l'sati b'tzitzis, then you put it over, you put it on and over your head. So it should be over l'asiyazim. one is only chayiv in tzitzis if one has a four-cornered beged. So usually that's pretty straightforward. You count the corners, it's four corners. If it's more than four corners, most of the Rishonim hold it's also chayiv. It's machlekes hatanaim, most Rishonim paskin, that four plus would be chayiv in tzitzis. If it's only three corners, then it would not be chayiv in tzitzis. There is a question that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Rishonim about what if you have something like our undershirts and you start to cut them up a little bit, and is that considered to be a corner or is that not considered to be a corner? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, it depends how far up it's cut. If it's cut up more than Rove, that's considered already to be a corner. If it's just a slit a little bit on the bottom, so that's not considered to be a corner. That's considered to be totally round. So that Allah becomes important, not so important in our communities, but those who wear kapatas and bekashas, so have to deal with this problem, because when you have a kapata, so in the back, it's slit up a little bit. So the question is, how far up is it slit? So if it's slit less than Rove up, so then you don't have, it's not a corner. But if it's slit more than Rove up, more than majority up, then it becomes a corner. And then you would have to be patzitas on the two front corners and two back corners. You have to patzitas on the kapata. So most people probably have never seen tzitzis on a kapata. I have yet to see it on a kapata. So the reason is, why most people don't do it, either because they make sure that it's less than half, or they round off one of the corners, because the halacha is that it's only considered to be a corner if it comes to a corner. It doesn't have to be an absolute perfect right angle, mamish 90 degrees geometry. As long as it's pretty much looks like a right angle, that's considered to be a corner. So what they do is they round it off. So if you take a look next time you see someone with a bekesh and a kapata, so take a look at the back corner, you'll usually see that one of the corners is rounded off to avoid any of the shaila. This issue of how you define a corner becomes important for us for the undershirt tzitzis that they sell, especially for the kids, wear those undershirt tzitzis, you know, everyone knows what they're referring to, those little snap-ons, not snap, whatever. So the problem is, very often if you take a look at them, that they're really not made properly. That many of them are not really cut up more than half. Especially if you figure out a cheshmer on half. Mishnah Berurah says you have to cheshmer on half from the shoulder, not from the armpit. So if you just mamish do the math, so I've noticed that many of them are not more than half. Again, you want to be mechanech your children to wear tzitzis. You're supposed to be mechanech them to wear tzitzis, not a kosher. So to mechanech them just to put strings on the bottom of an undershirt. So that's not really chinuch. So one should, usually when I tell people, it depends how old your kid is. If your kid's mamish, a little kid, is that 3 or 4 years old, he's not really chayiv in chinuch with tzitzis anyway. The shiur of chinuch with tzitzis is when the child knows how to dress himself. So the little three-year-old usually doesn't know how to, dress himself. Anyway, dressing himself doesn't mean he knows how to take all the clothes out of the drawer and throw everything on the floor and throw something on top of his head or something. You know, you're dressed like a mensch, so then he's chayiv in tzitzis, mishum chinuch. So then he should probably try to make sure that he has a kosher pair of tzitzis. So if he's already, I don't know, 5, 6, whatever it is, so he should try to make sure to get them. Usually the older pairs, the bigger pairs, usually are made properly. So you just take a look when you buy them to make sure that they're good. Something like the snap tzitzis. If you have the snap tzitzis, those little kitty tzitzis, so those are for sure good. Those are mamish dal kanfas, then they just snapped up. So that's then snap like an undershirt, but that's mamish a separate and distinct canal. I should have broken my kids up and brought them this morning to show off what I was saying this year in NTSY calls this past summer. So at the time I was saying the shiur, Meyachov was learning with his little chabur in the Beis Medrash. So I pulled him out of his chabur and I made him take a shirt off. So he started to be a little embarrassed, but we made him measure and to try to figure out whether he was okay or not. But Baruch Hashem, I think his were okay. Like, my younger sons, I wasn't sure okay. It's a problem of tas of lomra. Also, you have to put the strings on the beged after it's already chayiv. So no, try to get the right ones. What do you mean, sew it? You fold it over and yeah, that's there's a whole sugi about that, about how much that's considered to be vav. Forgot already, how to vav the kanaf. Usually the best aid is to mamish round it off. Problem is you have to try to round it off that it really is round. Sometimes you're round and you're not such a good cutter, so you ended up just making two corners instead of one corner. So two corners is chayiv. If you have a five-corner bag, you chayiv. So a guy comes with a scissor, starts to cut off, he says, it doesn't look like a rounded off corner. So he starts rounding off again. Then it doesn't look so good there. Then he stands around for the other end. So this is like the perpetual cereal and milk problem. So anyone knows that you put cereal in, you put milk in, there's too much milk, so you have to put more cereal in. You have too much cereal, you have to put more milk in. So you spend your whole life eating breakfast cereals. That's the same guy, spends his whole... The only problem is there, you just gain a little bit of weight. Here, you don't have a shirt anymore when you keep on cutting. So you should try to... The Shekhanah points out, you should try to make sure to cut the corner that mamish, that's mamish round.
The jacket, you and I would be wearing like a suit jacket.
Good. Is that called round?
Rounded?
Because if you would have a slit in the back,
right,
and that would would go up like more than rove, would you say?
Right,
that's and you would be higher.
That's kapata. Right, that's exactly kapata. Right.
But that's not around.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know where exactly.
I don't see it coming to a point. No?
I don't know. But that's the come mamish to a point. I don't know. I'm not sure. The Beis Yosef talks about a following shaila. He talks about when we talk about four corners. So the Beis Yosef says, why don't we need tzitzis on our shirts? He seems to be describing something very similar to our shirts. So our shirts have four corners on them. Just take a look. There's one corner. There's another corner. And two corners in the front. That's four corners. So who says that the four corners have to be two in front and two in back? So the Beis Yosef is a whole pilpul about why our shirts don't have tzitzis. So the Ramah says, I'll tell you why our shirts don't have tzitzis, because the halacha is it has to be two in front and two in back. So the Gemara doesn't say that explicitly. The Gemara says that when a person wears tzitzis, you're supposed to try to keep the strings two in front and two in back. It's supposed to be mesuvah v'mitzvahs. You're supposed to be all surrounded in mitzvahs. Right? It's a problem. Some people, when they wear their tzitzis out, so they take up all the tzitzis, they're all thrown in the same place or something. It's not really right. It's supposed to be distinct. It should be two in front of you and two in back. I'm not saying it's likuva, but it should be lechatchil at least. Two in front and two in back. So the Ramah understands that to mean that not only is that a din legabi the strings, that's a din legabi the corners. And if the beged is made in such a way that the corners are dafka all four in front, the dafka all four in the back, such a beged is not called dalet kanfus, and it wouldn't be chayv and tzitzis. A chiddush gadol for the Ramah. That's what some of the minhag is. That's why lemaisa we don't put tzitzis on our shirts. There's other reasons why, but lemaisa that's the reason that the Ramah says. Perhaps the most controversial issue in terms of the beged, what type of a beged is obligated in tzitzis, is the question of the size of the beged. How large does the beged have to be in order to be chayv in tzitzis? The Beis Yosef gives other reasons why he thinks the shirts are potter, but he doesn't give that reason. The most controversial issue in terms of tzitzis, in terms of the beged, is the size of the beged. How large must a pair of tzitzis be in order to be chayv to, and how much must the talus katan be in order to be chayv in tzitzis? So the Gemara obviously doesn't give us a shear in inches, the Gemara doesn't give us a shear in amas, a tefachim, the Gemara gives us a shear in terms of that it has to be large enough to be mechaser rosh and rubo shel katan. It has to be a beggar that's big enough that it can cover over the majority of a child. The Gemara doesn't tell us how old this child is. So most of the Rishonim assume it means a 9-year-old child. In a different opinion, some Rishonim say it means a younger child, but that's what we assume in halacha. It means the size of a 9-year-old child. So how big is Rosh of Rubu Shal, a 9-year-old child? So you got to take a couple of kids, some 9-year-olds floating around, so measure them and see what happens. So different posts can measure different 9-year-olds and came up with different numbers. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah comes up with the following two sets of numbers. The Mishnah Berurah says that he thinks that the shear is, it has to be an amma in front of you and an amma behind you. That's his lashon. That the beged has to be amma in front and amma in back. And he says, b'shasachak, maybe 3/4 of an amma would also be good in front, 3/4 of an amma in the back. The problem with the Mishnah Berurah is that we don't know what the Mishnah Berurah standards for an amma was. We know that there's a major machlekes poskim, just how big an amma was. We know discrepancies of 3-4 inches, and the Chazon Ish on the one end put an amma close to 2 feet, and then other posts can put an amma in 1.5 feet, so that's and anywhere in between. So it's unclear what we don't know what the Chafetz Chaim personally held and what an amma is. He didn't tell us anywhere. So if the Chafetz Chaim meant an amma, meant the Chazon Ish's amma, that means the tzitzis would have to be close to 2 feet. If he meant Reb Chaim Noah's amma, it could be closer to 1.5 feet. So it's unclear from the Mishnah Berurah. But the question is really whether we should go with these numbers altogether. We could also measure kids. Let's measure kids. Let's see how big. Take 5 kids. See what an average size 9-year-old looks like, and figure it out. Rosh Rubel Shul Katan. So Rabbi Willig decided he'll do the experiment. So he measured Baruch Hashem over the years. He had plenty of 9-year-old boys. So he said he took an average size kid. I think it was Moshe Willig at the time. This goes got to go back quite a few years. So he measured Moshe Willig, and I remember he was very excited to report that Moshe Willig was 51 inches tall when he was nine, his ninth birthday. So 51 inches tall. So do a little bit of math. Rosh of Rubel, you know, round it off a little bit, 26 inches. So he said, good, so tzitzis have to be 26 inches. So what does that mean? Tzitzis have to be 26 inches. So everyone's, like, all the mouths dropped when he made that announcement that a beged of tzitzis has to be 26 inches. So everybody thought that meant it has to be 26 in front and 26 in back, which would make him significantly more machmir than the biggest shear of the Mishnah Berurah. So then he came up with another chiddush. He said, wait a second. He said, who says that it has to be an amma or whatever that shear is, whatever that magic number is, it has to be in the front and in the back, the stomach both together. The stomach, they're both mitzvah together. So he wanted to suggest that yes, the shear is absolutely 26 inches to be divided into two. So simple math tells us that's 13 inches in front and 13 inches in the back. So going from being the biggest chumrah, he ended up being the biggest mekel. He said he thought that the correct shear for tzitzis is a beggar of 13 inches in front and 13 inches in back. Now they happen not to make tzitzis in those sizes, they only make them by even numbers. So therefore he thought 14 inch tzitzis is good enough. That was what he held in the Ikim Rikradin. So then the Bachram pushed him. Rebbe, do you really mean we should buy 14 inch tzitzis? So he said, Chas v'shalom. He said, why? Should you buy 14 inch tzitzis? Come on, only babies wear 14 inch tzitzis. You should wear. And they were waiting. So what should we wear? What should we wear? What should we wear? So he said, 20, 22, I don't know, whatever that was. Nice size, should be a nice kishmaka beggar. But in his heart of hearts, I think he really held. This is at least what he held. How old is Moshe willing? How old is Yehuda willing now? He's a 30, so mostly a couple years older than that. So this was 25 plus years ago when he made that statement. I haven't spoken to him about it since then, but assuming Chazak HaMekar, he hasn't changed on that, so that's what he really, really holds. That honest to goodness, 14 in the front, 14 in the back, but look at Chiyu, he should be a little bit bigger. The Mishtabura's numbers, the Amas, 18, 20, 22, whatever the numbers of the Amas, the three quarters of the Amas, all about. However, even though he was very makil in terms of that, he was very machmer in terms of something else, namely the V-neck tzitzis. Whereas other poskim seem to assume that when you have a V-neck tzitzis, so the shear begins from the top of the hole, so he wasn't so convinced. He thought that the shear starts from the bottom of the hole. So if it starts from the bottom of the V, so now you're going to be in trouble. So if you buy 14-inch tzitzis, which are V-neck, you can have 10 inches bekoshi from the bottom of the hole. So lishitaso that you can meikra din, it's 14 is good, but lishitaso that the V-necks don't really count. You have to measure from the bottom of the hole. So if you buy, I don't know, 18, 20, you have to do the math yourselves. If you buy, for argument's sake, the 20-inch tzitzis, then you may get 14 inches from the bottom of the hole. So I tell people, if they want to align the cooler 14 inches, that's fine. They have to just make sure to measure on the bottom of the hole, which usually ends up they're buying the same size as everybody else. So therefore, I tell people the same thing. You should buy approximately 18, 20, 22, whatever, something in that league. That's, I think, lechatchila to be acceptable. There is a discussion in the poskim about the size of the hole in terms of the width of the hole. There is a cryptic statement that's said in the name of the Maharil. The Maharil says that when you have a pair of tzitzis, so you have a hole you can put your head through. So the Maharil says you have to be careful that the hole isn't so big and the shoulder straps aren't so small. Why? Because if you have a very big hole, very short, smaller straps, osi avira the high gisa, the avira the high gisa mavatale. What in the world does that mean? So it's a sugya in the first bracha, it's Erevin. Because if you did an Erevin, when you're building an Erev, so you have to have a mechitza, each wall has to be what's called oven rubel aparatz. Each wall has to be more standing up than breaches in the wall. You can have a little breaks here and there in the wall, as long as two things are true. As long as you have a rove of the wall to stand, each wall is judged on its own merits. So one wall, the Erev, is mostly standing, and each breach is less than 10 amos, so that wall is considered to be a kosher wall. So this is what we do all the time. Many Erevin have breaks in the middle of them. As long as rove of the wall is standing and each breach is less than 10 amos, then you're okay. Rabbi Willie once told me, he said, it's an important lesson in life. He said, everybody has downs in life, and ruchnias, times when you can go days, weeks, months, and you get into a rut. So he said, you have to be careful about two things, about these ruts in life. Number one, that they're not the majority of your life. That's omen rubel aparatz. And number two, they're not too long. If they get very, very long ruts, then they become more than 10 amos, then you have big problems. So you have little ruts, little breaks here and there. You shouldn't get too down on the air vistal kasha. But if it becomes the majority, or if it becomes very, very long in nature, then you got to try to figure out what to do with it. Anyway, you got to fix the Eruv. But getting back to the story, so the Gemara says when you're building this Eruv, so you have these little pieces here and there, which you can even stop together for an Eruv, you have to be careful that if you have, let's say you have a piece of wall, then you have a break, then you have a very, very small piece of wall, then another big break. So the Gemara says if you have a piece of wall standing over here, but the airspace on both sides of that piece of wall are bigger than the piece of wall itself, so then that piece of wall is kamandalei, so that piece of wall is cancelled out, it doesn't exist. That's what's called osi avir the haigisa. The air of this side, the avir the haigisa, the air of the other side, umavatul, and it cancels the thing which is standing in the middle. And it doesn't count. That little piece now doesn't count towards the cheshbon of rov. So the Maharil says the same is true by tzitzis. If you have a very big hole in the middle, and you have a very, very small strap, so the avir the haigisa means the air for the rest of the world. It means all the air from here till the world ends. So that's one avir. Then you have the avir of the hole itself, which is bigger. The avir of the hole is bigger than the strap itself. So then asi avir, the haigis, so it's kimandalei. So it's as if the strap doesn't exist, and this strap doesn't exist, and this strap doesn't exist. Guess what? You have two sheets in front of you, but that's not a beged. So that's not chayv and sittis. That's nothing. It's mamish bracha l'batala. That's the cryptic statement in the name of the Maharal. In the name of the Maharil. I'm sorry. Maharal was a very, very cryptic statement. In the name of the Maharil. That it's therefore, according to the simple reading of the Maharil, is that each shoulder strap must be bigger in width than the hole itself. So many, many poskim quote this Maharil, and they say that they can't believe that he meant what he sounds like. Both the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan quote from the Machatzah Shekel, the earlier Achronim, who said that Ma Inyan Zeh Luchas Eirvin, learning the first Bechad Eirvin right now, learning Luchas Tzitzis right now, what does that have to do with Eirvin? So the Gedolei HaPoskim, both the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, and said that the Maharil just meant this Mamash Derech Malitza. He meant this just as a little bit of poetic license. What he meant was, you have to be sure that the shoulder straps are mamushas to them, that they're really part of a beged. What the Maharil was opposed to was, if you have a beged in front of you, sheet in front of you, sheet in back of you, and you take up a string, and you just tie the two pieces of the beged together with a little string, a little cord, a little strap that big, so that's not a beged. There's no tzirut between the two. That's two different things, which are just being hanged together on a thread. So that's what the Maharil, he talked like a London, so he said, I'll see, I'm about to lay. But if you have a real beged, it's mamish made like a beged, it's 6 inches wide, it just happens to be at the hole 7 inches wide. So he says, come on, says the Mishnah, says, that should be a problem. But the Chazanish quotes this Maharil, and he says, oh, the Maharil meant exactly what he meant, exactly what he said, and he quotes Yipsah Sugya in the Maseches Eirvin, with the Tosfos in Eirvin, that you say, Asi Avir the High Gisa, even out of the realm of Eirvin, Tosfos has the Legabi Yichus Tumas Kalim, so a complicated story. So Lamaisa, the Chazanish says, we have to take it mamash at face value, and therefore, the hole must be smaller than either side of the shoulder strap. You don't combine the straps. Each side of the straps must be bigger than the hole. So there are some people who are machped on this. There are some tzitzis companies that advertise. They write on the thing that these the neck of his nasa lafishit is a chazanish, which is supposed to mean that the hole is smaller than each of the straps. I have on occasion opened up a package of tzitzis and which said on them the hole is nasa lafi chazanish. And the Hoyu Dvar Me'olam, that I don't know what Chazanish they were talking about, but not the one that I was talking about, that it was not, it just wasn't true. Just mamash wasn't true. So Lamaisa, whenever I buy tzitzis, again, those who don't want to be makhlid for this, they don't have to be makhlid for this. The Mishabru was making, the Chashoka was making, but those who want to be makhlid for this Chazanish, so then I would recommend when you buy a pair of tzitzis, bring a tape measure along. Measure it yourself, because it's not always, sometimes it's very, very close, and you can it can really be off. So again, I'm not saying you're mechuyav to machmir for it, but there are some who are machmir for it. When we first got married, so my wife used to work in Bar Park. So I needed a new pair of tzitzis. I figured I slept with the Bar Park myself. I asked my wife to go buy me a pair of tzitzis. So I just made her a list of just things, questions to ask the guy. So one of the things on the list was to make sure that the hole is smaller than the size things. And I also asked her to all the different hidurim that the string should have. And then I also said, just make sure there should be one whole tzitzis, not two whole tzitzis, because the chassidim have a minig based on the Ari of probably people have seen them, they have two whole tzitzis, the strings go through two holes and go over. So usually by mistake, then we don't, that minig is not to do that. We like what says in the Shulchan Aruch, that we just have one whole tzitzis. I'm not saying the other's apostle, but our minig is, unless one has a minig to the contrary, one should have the one whole tzitzis. So I knew already, my custom is why, I knew already she's going to buy tzitzis in Bar Park. I knew that the odds are she's going to get me the two whole tzitzis. That's most of the chassidish place to sell. So I put that on the list of things. So here, my poor wife, little young married girl, she comes into this tzitzit store in Bar Park, and she gives a list of a mile long of different hidurim. So the guy looks at her, and says, lady, he says, who in the world does your husband think he is? That was his lashon. So she was so embarrassed, she didn't want to, I never sent her to go buy tzitzis afterwards anymore. But anyway, they told her, I think, that they don't sell one whole tzitzis or something. They never heard of the Chazanish, whatever it is, they weren't into it. She said, my husband, he learns in YU. Oh, okay, that's the... First time ever. There was once in a chasana, and somebody, one of the rabbis from yeshiva got called up. It was Rashiva, yeshiva, some minyan zechachanim. So there were two fellows, probably from Bar Park, who were sitting in the back. So one asked the other, Yitzchak Achanov, I never heard of yeshiva. So the other one said, yeah, it's some small place in Bar Park, I think. That was his yeah. No, so that's the issue from Hilchos Erevin, that you don't do that, that the Avir or Nitzah, if you extrapolate that then from Erevin, I'm not saying you have to, but if you follow that idea of the Gemara and Erevin, so then the outside and the inside all talk on Mavatel, the strap.
Yeah, that's, in Erevin, it's from each side to its wall, and then the middle in between.
Right, no, so the idea is that it's airspace, so there's airspace from the outside, from the world, right, the airspace of the world, the airspace of the whole, each one gangs up in the small strap and cancels the strap, commandalay. So that's the chiddush of Asi Avira. So if you hold that's a din only in Erevin, it's irrelevant to you. If you hold that it carries over to other areas of halacha, then it's potentially problematic. There is a discussion that the Rishonim have in the end of Maseches Nida of all places, about a beggar for the purposes of tzitzis, whether it has to be a beggar that's actually serving a real function in terms of a garment. Is it something that's really keeping you warm? So there was one day in Tzitzis that says yes, that only a beggar that's mamash keeping you warm is considered to be chayev in tzitzis. So other Rishonim say lahoyu dvar miyom, there is no such halacha. So that would have serious ramifications for us. If one would take that opinion that you only chayev in tzitzis on a beggar that keeps you warm, so then, so a guy wears a little cotton tzitzis like we spoke about last week, or if a person wears tzitzis in the summertime, the beggar's not keeping you warm, not doing anything to you. You would never dream in a million years of wearing that beggar. So then you would never be chayv in tzitzis, b'sman hazeh. Whereas if you take the other opinions, then any beggar, it's a four-cornered beggar, sure, it's chayv in tzitzis. So needless to say, the minig is like the other opinion. The minig is, we assume that even if the beggar's not really doing anything for you physically, it's wearing it, it's on, finished, so it's chayv in tzitzis. The only thing is that what if a person wears a beged in such a way that it's not really derech levisha altogether? What do I mean by that? It's not derech levisha altogether. It means he's putting it on just like to measure or something. He's putting it on to see where it fits. And sometimes you go walk into the store and you want to put on a four-cornered beged and it doesn't have strings on it. You want to put your own strings on. But you want to make sure it's the right size for you. So you take the beged and you, it's a talus sometimes. You go into the store and you want to put your own strings in the talus. So you buy the talus by itself. So you want to make sure it's the right size. So you put it on, wrap it up, put it on your head, make sure it fits the regular floor and everything. How can you do that? You're wearing a beged of dollar confis without strings. So there is a Ramah in Hukhus Shatnez, in Hukhus Kilayim, where the Ramah says that at least in Hukhus Kilayim you're allowed to do that. There's a common shot. A guy goes to the store, wants to try on the suit, so it could be the suit of Shatnez, but right does he have to try on the suit? So the Ramah says you're allowed to do that. The Ramah says that you're not wearing it b'toras levisha, you're not wearing it to keep you warm, you're not keeping it to go outside on the street. You're putting it on as a try, to measuring. So the Ramah says, Mikra Adini thinks that would be mutar. So if one would extrapolate from tzitzis to, from Kilayim to tzitzis, so then one would have a right to have that cool as well. It's not so posh that that's true. There may be differences between the two. So therefore, by tzitzis, we have a much better kula. By tzitzis, the reason why that's mutter, to walk into the store to try to put on the beged and measure it out, it's not your beged yet. The din is that, we'll see in a moment, you only chayv in tzitzis if you own the beged. So you didn't buy it. You didn't pay for it yet. So it's a beged she'ula. It's a talis she'ula. So when you borrow a talis, so technically speaking, it's not chayv in tzitzis. So in terms of a chashanis, it's mutter to do that, because the Ramah says that's not called wearing shanis. In terms of a chitzis, even if you hold that is called wearing a beged for the purposes of tzitzis, but it would still be mutter because it's a talis she'ula. So even if a person has a beged that meets all the physical criteria of being chayv and tzitzis, it's made out of whatever material it's made out of, it's four-cornered, it's keeping you warm, not keeping you warm, whatever the different klal mar, there is this one last condition that we just mentioned a moment ago in terms of owning the beged. With the Gemara derives from a pasuk, it says, "Al arba kanfas ksuscha shetachasaba, the ksuscha l'may tal she'ula." That if it's a baro talis, so one is not obligated in tzitzis. The Gemara says that min haTorah one is never chayv in tzitzis if it's a baro talis. If you've been borrowing it for more than 30 days, then mid the rabbanon you should put tzitzis on it, because it's a shtikl marasayin. If people see the guy's walking around the same shirt, the same talis for the last 6 months, so not everyone's going to realize that it's just borrowed. So therefore, mid the rabbanon he would be required to put tzitzis on it.
No.
Mashatnez is not true. No, Mashatnez is an issa to wear it. If you're just wearing it just to measure for size, then it's okay. But if you're just wearing it just for one night, that would be a problem. Even if you borrow it. Yeah, if you rent it, borrow it, yeah, that would be a problem. There's the issue about tuxedos. People who rent tuxedos, you have to ask the Shatnez people which tuxedos have problems with Shatnez or not. But even to wear Shatnez even for 1 minute would be a problem, unless you're wearing it only because it's measuring up for size. So this is an absolute halacha that minatori always parted from tzitzis if it's baharot, but midirabanan after 30 days you become chayev. So the Rishonim write that b'medim amurim that this is true. That means that if I lend you a baguette which doesn't have tzitzis on it, so I give you a four-cornered baguette and now you're borrowing it for 2 weeks, so you're not mechuyev, not minatori, not midirabanan to put tzitzis on it. But what if I lend you quote unquote a baguette which already has tzitzis on it? I walk at the shul, I kavalt, I forgot my talus, so I ask, can I please borrow your talus? So the Rush writes that that's not called borrowing. If the beggar already has talakantus on it and clearly has tzitzis on it, and the purpose of my asking to quote-unquote borrow it is to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, so then there's an unstated, unwritten umdana, it's understood that ki'ilu you're being mocked at me, the beggar, that you're giving it to me b'taras matan, you're giving it to me as a gift, and therefore it would be chayav in tzitzis now because it now belongs to me. It's a gift, but you want to get it back, so it's an understood that it's a matan amanas v'hachzir, just as the Gemara has in the beginning of Masechus Kedushin, the end of Masechus Sukkah, then on the first day of Sukkot, when the person has to own the Dal Aminim, so I can give you the Dal Aminim on the condition that you return it to me, and it's perfectly acceptable in Torah, you can be Yeltsin the Mitzvah that way, it's called yours for at that time you being Yeltsin the Mitzvah. So the same is true for a talus. Nobody said it, nobody spelled it out. Yeah, everybody knows, that's what it means. I walk into the shul and I ask you, can I borrow your talus? I didn't have to wear it for davening, so that's considered to be chayav in tzitzis. However, the question becomes, what if I quote unquote borrow your talus, and I'm talking not interested in being koned, I don't want to acquire it, I don't want to make a bracha on it, so why am I borrowing your talus? Guys, got an aliyah, hagba, psich, whatever. I want to put in your talus for a minute. So then the halach would be as follows: that I'm talking borrowing it. If I'm not interested in being kone, you're not interested in being machne, and not that I want to make a brach and daven and wear it for a half hour. So then, you know, I'm not chayiv in tzitzis. If I'm not chayiv in tzitzis, then I would not make a bracha on such a baguette. So then it becomes very, very tricky. At what point do you say that the person is mamish being kone the baguette? At what point do you say that the person is merely borrowing the baguette? So the Rishonim already discussed about a talus that belongs to a shul. So we assume that a talus that belongs to a shul is what's called a beged shel shutfis. It's a garment that's owned by a bunch of partners, owned by all the members of the shul. So the halacha is, the Gemara says in Masechus Chulin, that a beged shel shutfis is chayiv in tzitzis. So if I'm one of the shutfim in the beged, so that can be yotzei my mitzvah d'oraisa of tzitzis. So if I walk at the shul and I put on the shul's talus, even if it's for a minute, l'chora, I should be chayiv in tzitzis on that. And l'chora, I could be able to recite a brach on that. And l'chora, I have to make sure that tzitzis are kosher on that, because that's mamash my beged. So if I borrow a personal bag, if it's a private talus from somebody else, so then you have to figure out, did I have a mind to be kona, did I not have a mind to be kona? But if it's a shul's talus, so then I am kona, I don't have to be kona, it's mine, it's mamish mine.
Does it make a difference, do you remember?
So this is a further question. So many posts can say, okay, here's my big plug. So some folks can say that even if you're not really a member, even if you're not a paying member in the shul, it's understood when the shul buys things, so they buy things al das that everybody can come and use. Shuls encourage people to become members. Lamaisa, no shul closes the doors if somebody's not a member. So you want to say not nice things about the person, that's your own personal shul politics. But tachas, a guy comes in, he's not a member, so we'll still let him daven. We'll still let him use the safe. We'll still let him take a chumash. We're not going to pull the chumash away from him. So it's understood when we buy things as a shul, so we're buying them for the members and for anybody else who's going to come in and use them. So therefore, it's understood if a stranger walks in and he picks up a talus, so the shul is moichel, the shul is aldas, that he's going to be kind of the talus for those couple of minutes, that he's going to be using it for his aliyah, for his davening, etc. So that l'chor causes issues for us. It means every time you put in the shul talus, l'chor, you're finished. Not finished. You should make a bracha. So that's what many poskim say. Many poskim say that if you want to make a bracha, just take a shul talus and show, and you can make a bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes at the end of the Bir Halacha, after he quotes the conventional wisdom that in Achanami that's the halacha, he quotes the Shari Ephraim. The Shari Ephraim writes that, yeah, that in theory should be the halacha, but the Shari Ephraim says that maybe this is different, because the person, when he's putting on the talus for such a short amount of time, he's putting it on the cover of the Alma. He's not putting it on because he wants to wear the talus. He's putting it on just a sign of honor and respect, because he's going to get aliyah, he's going to get psich and hagba. He's putting it on for 2 seconds, putting it on and off. So maybe that's not really considered to be Derech Levisha. So that's like a little bit of a throwback, like the person who puts on the beggar just to try on, or according to some, it's not Derech Atifa, it's not really a real Chashev wearing. So maybe such a beggar would be parted from Tzitzis. So according to this curveball that Shari Ephraim just threw at us, so even though it's a Shul Talus, even though it technically belongs to you, Could be even if it's your own talents. It doesn't matter that if you're putting it on just derech kavod b'yamim, maybe that's not called levisha, which is chayav tzitzis. Now I got to get into a little bit of a problem. So on the one hand, the guy's about to get into levisha, he wants to put on the talis. So should he make a bracha? Should he not make a bracha? So the best option in these situations is to borrow somebody else's talis. Is to borrow a private talis. If you borrow a private talis, then for sure you have in mind not to be zeich in the talis. You have in mind not to be zeich, so it's not yours. Not yours l'chol aday. So you're totally parted from tzitzis. Once you use the shul's talis, so then it becomes a little bit tricky. Whatever person uses the shul talis to daven in, so you put it on shul talis to daven in, so then stam you achayev, and it sits. That's the point of the shul talis. So then it gets a little bit tricky. What if you're the chaz to daven mincha? So is that called enough? Yeah, depends how long the mincha is. So depends on kedusha or not. So if you put on the talis for a long mincha with the vaydava before, and the real the shemalos afterwards, and the real works. So I don't know, maybe that's called. I don't know, it's hard to know. Right, so that's the question, does kavana really work? Because it's not as yours. So some posts can say when you pick up a shul talis, it's like having in mind it's my own talis, and having in mind not to be zaychin the talis. What do you mean having in mind not to be zaychin the talis? It's your talis. To have in mind not to be yotzei the mitzvah is a problem, because if you put on the beged having in mind not to be yotzei the mitzvah, then it turns out you're wearing a beged of dal kantos without strings. So that may be a more of a problem. That may be a bitla mitzvah, according to some. So again, look, the best way to get around this problem is to borrow somebody's private talis, have in mind not to be zoicha. The next best thing is to use the shul's talis, and probably also have in mind not to be zoicha. According to some, maybe that works also. So I'm nervous to make a bracha. To make a bracha, even for an aliyah, maybe for a mincha, I don't know, but just down for an aliyah, I'd be a little bit nervous. There is a minig in the Yekasha community is based on this, that by mincha, the Shabbos mincha. See, the Yekis never have this problem in the morning because they all wear talis. Even the Bachim wear talis. But by Shabbos mincha, whatever they lane, so if you ever notice in the Yekos Shul when they lane, so the Balkar will put on the talis, he'll make a bracha, and then he'll keep the talis on until after Kedushin Chazar Sashatz. Anyone who gets an aliyah keeps on the talis until after Kedushin Chazar Sashatz. Where in the world did that come from? It came exactly from here. And apparently they felt that to put on a talis just stomp for an aliyah for 2 seconds, that's covered beyond me, that doesn't warrant the bracha. But to put on the talis for 20 minutes, that taka does warrant the bracha. So we had this...
Means you have to make a bracha,
That was the point of this minute.
So the Yankee gets up there and doesn't make a bracha.
Oh, so that's what, yes. Yeah, so this was the problem that we had in Paramus. So when I was running Paramus, that was a minhag. So I noticed everyone was doing, fine, no problem. It's the Yakisha minhag to do good. But then I also noticed that nobody was making brachas. That people were putting on the talis, or they were borrowing private talises from somebody else, or then I said, they weren't necessarily making brachas. So I said, wait a second. I said, the whole point of the minhag was to enable you to make the bracha. So if Marashach, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So I changed it. What was that? I changed it to the point that I said as follows: you're not chuyif to keep the talis on anymore. If you choose not to make a bracha, then it's mamash silly. There's absolutely no point to keeping the talis on anymore. If you want to maintain that minute of making a bracha and keeping it on for 20 minutes, not toy. There's nothing wrong with that. So we left it in Ishkol Yosha Ben of Yasef. What do they do now? That's it. We left the Ishkal Yasha, still remained Ishkal Yasha. Good. Hashem, nothing's changed in the last 5 years. Okay. So, but that was my, remember, I came from, it was coming and going. So you have to look what the source for a minig is to understand whether the minig is being followed properly or not. So, but at least we have a little bit of an overview in terms of what constitutes a begging, in terms of material, in terms of size, in terms of corners and shape and everything. I guess we didn't get to the strings part, so maybe I'll finish it next year. We'll figure out by next week what we're doing. But when we continue with the tzitzis at some point in the future, so we'll continue in terms of the dinim of the chutim. Yeah. Yeah.